Hello and welcome to another episode of Game Notes. I'm Dave DeFore. Of course, this would not be an episode of Game Notes without Tony Jones, because it is the Utah Jazz podcast, the official Utah Jazz podcast of The Athletic. Hi, Tony.
What's up, y'all? How's everything today?
It's fine, I guess.
Just fine. Fine.
I don't know, man. I'm running around my house, packing up my car because I'm about to road trip up to Milwaukee to hang out with the Partnows for Thanksgiving. And
Why are we going to Milwaukee?
I'm going to Milwaukee to have Thanksgiving with Seth and his family.
Okay, so that's, yeah.
Well, because my wife is still overseas, and so I will say this. It's been very nice. I could say this here on this podcast because, it just feels like it's just me and you and our close buddies.
Yes.
My wife's been overseas for the last few months, and it's really, really nice, but I was inundated with texts in the last month or so inviting me to Thanksgiving. I mean, Tony, you invited me to Thanksgiving about 6 weeks ago when I saw you in Dallas. But Seth and his wife were ahead of everybody because they invited me like beginning of September, which is, I mean, I can't even believe I made plans that far in advance. So, so I'm going to drive up. It's going to be fun. I'm going to stop in Wichita and Des Moines on my way, two places that I can't come up with a reason to go otherwise. So, it's going to be fun. I'm going to have my dogs with me. It'll be a good time. You guys doing anything for Thanksgiving?
Oh, we're going to eat. I'm going to eat.
Do you cook in your house?
I mean, yeah.
Who's the cook?
Me.
Are you the cook? Like Thanksgiving dinner. You're making Thanksgiving dinner?
I am the cook in my house. Listen, my boys are coming over. So I got like four of my guys coming over.
Okay.
Me and my guy Q, we're cooking the turkey. My boy Bryant is coming over with his son.
How are you cooking your turkey?
Huh?
How are you going to cook your turkey?
We're going to wet that thing up and put it in the oven.
Oh, okay. So you're going to do like a brine, a wet brine. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to inject it into the muscle.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And it comes out nice and soft, and it's just going to be delicious. And my boy Bryant's bringing a ham. We're going to have mac and cheese. We're going to have
what kind of stuffing? Rain. You're from New York originally, right?
Yes.
So what kind of stuffing do you guys do in your house? I mean, I'm from the South, so it varies depending on where you are.
So we do the regular stovetop stuffing, but the seasoning and all that good stuff.
So. Look, come on, man. Make it from scratch.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Turkey is probably. Actually, that's not true. You know what? The truth is, my favorite Thanksgiving food, the pumpkin pie. And I would have both sides of my family when I was a kid, because I still don't really like being around a bunch of people. I would have my own pumpkin pie that was set aside for me. In hindsight, I feel really spoiled. But
My favorite food is definitely the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, and I'm not a big mac and cheese guy. And I know that's like, it's sacrilegious because I'm Southern. And man, my mom and my grandma, they make really killer mac and cheese that everyone loves. Just not my thing.
Yep.
I don't know. Just not a big pasta and cheese guy. But in my family, on my dad's side of the family, they're near the water. Oyster stuffing. I mean, oyster, sausage, and they'll do it as stuffing or as a dressing with the oysters in it. But with sausage, they'll stuff.
Yep.
And then cornbread stuffing on my mom's side. It's funny, like, but in the South, man, the stuffing, the dressing, to me, that matters more than a bird.
I can't believe that you just said you're not a big mac and cheese guy.
No,
because
man.
Mac and cheese is the delicatessen to have on Thanksgiving.
Listeners, let us know.
If you agree, Jazz fans, hit my mentions.
Utah seems like a place that really loves some mac and cheese. Take that however you want, guys, but it seems like a place that they really love some mac and cheese.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's talk about the Jazz, Tony, because this is a Jazz podcast, unfortunately not a food podcast. Maybe we should start one, though. The Jazz got some help last night. We're recording this on Friday, the 19th of November. And Rudy
Gay. They finally got home.
Yeah, man. Rudy Gay makes his debut, and it was a hell of a debut. And Tony, you wrote about it over at The Athletic. You said he was magnificent, which I think is a perfect way to describe the game that he had. 20 points, 7 of 8 from the field, hit 5 out of 6 threes, 5 rebounds, and had a couple of assists. And he only played 18 minutes. That's production, man. And if that's a guy coming off your bench, if he's able to, you know, when he gets into basketball shape, if he's able to give them 24, 26 minutes of high-level offense, whew.
So we started to get into an interesting conversation off script, correct? Me and you?
Yeah.
We just did? Yes.
We did.
All right. So how much would you play Rudy Gay on a nightly basis?
Well, I think that that's an interesting question because he is older, and we've talked a lot about we've talked a lot about what they need to do for Joe Ingles and for Mike Conley, and part of that is just that Rudy hasn't been there, but now that he is there, and they need to ramp his activity up for the next couple months. But you're right. I think that is an interesting question. Somewhere in that 20 to 25 minute range feels about right.
I'm probably playing them 22 to 25 minutes a night.
Yeah. That's
because
about what I feel.
I have a feeling that he's going to play 30 nights a night in the playoffs.
Oh, I can see 30, that for sure.
I have a feeling he's going to play 30 minutes a night in the playoffs. I'm sorry, I misspoke. 30 minutes a night in the playoffs. But I would play him 22 to 25 minutes a night during the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels about right. And it's going to allow you to cut some of those Ingles and Conley minutes as well, right? When you have another high-level...
I don't know if it allows you to cut the Conley minutes. But
well, we'll see,
cutting,
right?
They've been cutting the Conley minutes anyway. Conley's only playing 27 minutes a night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so his minutes have been way down. And now, I mean, his minutes have been way down. His usage and his minutes have been way down. That's one of the reasons why the Jazz offense hasn't been moving the ball as much. But the ball got moving last night. I thought watching Rudy Gay last night, the biggest impact that he had wasn't the scoring, and it wasn't obviously the shooting. The shooting and the scoring, that was obvious. I thought the biggest impact that Rudy Gay had on the Jazz last night and then went over Toronto was how much his presence impacted Joe Ingles, because Joe Ingles had pretty much been playing in a lineup that hasn't had a lot of spacing, and lineups that haven't had a lot of spacing this season. And the way Rudy Gay was shooting and the way that Toronto had to pay attention to him after a while in that second half, in that second half stint, Joe Ingles was, he had more spacing last night to work pick and roll, to kind of do the things that Joe Ingles does than he had all season. And I think a lot of that was that Rudy Gay was on the floor, and obviously, Jordan Clarkson was on the floor as well. And it just made it just made that lineup really potent. And that was the lineup, obviously, that that ultimately pulled away from the Raptors.
What about defensively? I mean, like you mentioned, the offensive stuff stands out with Rudy. I mean, moving the ball, and he even talked about that post-game, which I thought you were very good to point out, that he felt like he was moving the ball, which, you know, for a guy coming into a new situation where that ball does get popping, that's important for him to make the realization, okay, I got to come in, I got to think about the point five, and he's been in San Antonio doing that. But on the defensive end, which is where we really think he's going to allow them some new opportunities, what did you see in his first game?
I thought he was good defensively from a standpoint of you know, when he was on the floor shrunk because he's so big, right? Like they list him as 6'8". I'm pretty certain he's bigger than 6'8". I think he's 6'9", at least. You know, he was the same size as Chris Boucher. He was basically the same height as Chris Boucher, you know, because Chris was guarding him last night. And Chris is listed at, you know, 6'11 or something like that. You know, and it was just it was just such a remarkable difference when you see the Jazz on the wing without Rudy Gay in terms of what their size is on the wing. And then you see Rudy Gay on the wing, and it's just, you just look at it and the difference is stark. Even if Rudy Gay is 35 years old, even if he doesn't move laterally the way he once moved, like you look at it and like the Jazz are just a bigger team defensively when he's on the floor. You know, and I thought he helped that way. You know, I thought he got tired. He admitted he got tired, and he's got to work on his conditioning. But, you know, I thought defensively, I've always thought defensively he was going to help just because of how big he is, and you can really throw him on the wing. And and obviously offensively, he's absolutely going to help. You know, I've said this on this podcast before. You know, I just think that for this group, for what this specific group needs, if Rudy Gay is the same Rudy Gay that showed up in San Antonio, if he stays healthy, he's potentially a game changer for this group.
You want to talk a little bit about this homestand that just finished up?
Yeah.
It didn't go quite as well as we thought it could. They come off a big win against the Hawks. And then they just stink up the place against the Pacers. You know, it that lack of intensity kind of carried over, I thought, into their following game against Miami. It's not amazing. This was not like a great homestand. To lose 2 out of 5 at home, not a great homestand when you consider one of those losses was to the Pacers.
I thought it was amazing because, like, you know, you would have thought coming into the homestand that they would have won 4 out of 5, right? Like,
yeah.
4 out of 5, kind of get rolling. Instead, you know, they played okay against Atlanta. They won the game. They played okay against Atlanta. They played their worst game of the year against Indiana. They probably played their second worst game of the year against Miami. Or you could even flip those. Either or, both of those games were their two worst games of the season collectively. You know, and they play pretty good against Philly, but Philly had absolutely nobody there. Like, nobody played. But that being said, that looks like a better win, considering that Philly went and beat Denver on Thursday night, and then you know, and then I thought they put together, like, I thought that the second half against the Raptors on Thursday night was maybe a candidate for one of their best halves of the year. I really thought it was a terrific second half, because I don't think they played well defensively in the first half at all, and they completely flipped the switch, and especially in the last 5 minutes of the third quarter, And then in the fourth quarter, they put together a really good fourth quarter. You know,
they were disruptive.
Yeah, they were disruptive defensively, and they hummed offensively. Like that was the offense against the Raptors that, okay, the offense is really humming. And when the Jazz had the personnel that, you know, they should be really good against any defense they see. If they have they had the personnel to beat switches. If you drop against them, I think they're the best offense against a drop team in the league. But you know, Toronto did something unique on Thursday, which was they hard tracked every pick and roll. So what they wanted to do was force the ball out of the guard's hands, whether it be Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley or Joe Ingles or whoever the pick and roll initiator was. They wanted to force the ball out of their hands, force the ball into the hands of either Rudy Gobert or Hassan Whiteside, and make them make decisions off the 4-on-3, off the short roll. And the adjustment that the Jazz did was they had Rudy Gay setting the pick. So when the ball got into his hands off the short roll, obviously he's a much better decision maker. You know, so they did that a couple times. But once the Jazz figured out what it was, I mean, they turned the ball over a lot in the first quarter. But once they figured out what it was, once they adjusted to it, they just started swinging the ball around and getting wide open looks. That's why they hit 19 threes, which is a season high, for them. On Thursday night. So it'll be interesting to see if the Jazz can, you know, I think this is a more difficult week coming up than the schedule suggests, right? Like,
oh yeah, Sacramento, Memphis, at Oklahoma City, who are tough. Yeah. And then you got two games against the Pelicans back to back.
Yeah, two games against the Pelicans. Home, but I think even the Pelicans game.
Look, the Kings suck. The Grizzlies are scuffling, and the Thunder really just—they're not a good team, but they play hard. I disagree with you on this, Tony. I think they're about to. I think this could be really, really nice to help ramp up Rudy Gay, actually, because you got five games where you're going to get to play around a little bit. Not that Utah tends to do that, but I think that you are going to be able to see some experimentation here, especially with Rudy.
I think the Kings are tough. Especially a Golden 1 center. I think that's they're a tough out at Golden 1 center. I think the Jazz have long had issues from day one of John Morant's career. They've had issues dealing with John Morant. So I think that's going to be tough. Like you said, Oklahoma City plays super hard. That's going to be a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. There's going to be nobody there. That's going to be a tough game because you're going to have to figure out, you're going to have to self-generate the energy, your own energy. And, you know, now they should beat the Pelicans. They should beat the Pelicans. So, you know, I mean, if the Jazz play well, If from night to night they're consistent, they have a chance to be 5-0 in the next five. They do have a chance.
Yeah.
They still have a chance to be 4-1 in the next five. But they also have a chance to be 3-2 or something like that in the next five. Because, you know, those are teams like the Raptors were a team. And I made the point at halftime. You just can't show up and beat. You got to play well to beat them. And you know, outside of the Pelicans, the Jazz are going to have to play well to win all three of those games. So if they don't play well, they're going to be in danger of losing one of those games or two of them.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I think we're going to be able to check in at some point next week, early next week, and kind of see how the first couple of games have gone. So we'll be back with another episode, hopefully before Thanksgiving, but if not, I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving if you celebrate it. At least enjoy the time off from work and hopefully around family or, you know, sitting with your Nintendo Switch in the corner, ignoring everybody, which is Also sounds like a good time, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, for Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore. This has been Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on The Athletic. We'll talk to you guys next week.